Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show. Coming up, we've got a lot to talk about this hour. We'll have our guy Sixers Adam in about 40 minutes for a Trust the Pregame show, getting ready for the Sixers and the Warriors tonight. NBA best Golden State Warriors. This is a tough spot for the Sixers. They won a couple nights ago, and you know they're getting through this road trip without totally embarrassing themselves. It sounds like Joel Embiid's going to be back on Saturday if things go well for him as he tries to get back from COVID here. So tonight, the Sixers are in Golden State. The last I saw of the number, we were looking at the Sixers as 10-point dogs tonight against the Golden State Warriors.
Tobias Harris is out tonight.
Oh, no.
Left hip soreness. But we do get Seth Curry back. So Seth Curry versus Steph Curry. That's exciting.
Yeah, the other Curry, I mean, as good as Seth has turned into, he's a nice player. The other Curry's a little better. Tiny bit.
Yeah, but big brother, little brother.
I know. It's a fun subplot. It's a 10-point number on the Warriors. We'll talk to our guy Sixers Adam coming up about 40 minutes. My NFL picks, I'll guess it takes in about 30. Right now, though, we go out to the guest line, joined by Ariel Epstein of Yahoo Sportsbook to talk Week 12 in the NFL, including some Thanksgiving Day games. Ariel, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're great and excited for a full weekend of football starting tomorrow. The Lions and the Bears, we could start there. Some people don't like the tradition. They want to take the Lions out. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to take the Lions plus the three. Am I crazy, Ariel? What do you think of this game?
I think anyone betting this game's crazy, so we're all crazy.
Okay.
You've got to have action on it because why not? I mean, it's Thanksgiving. It's the only game on during that hour. I'm going to have action on the game. I've seen so many people taking the points with the Lions. It just feels so trappy to me. Everyone on Twitter has been going after them saying Jared Goff's going to start and he's better than Andy Dalton. However, what people aren't realizing is that the Lions have the second worst run defense in football. And the Bears have the running back David Montgomery, who rushed for 106 yards against this Lions team in the beginning of October. That's where I'm focusing on. I'm taking the over on David Montgomery's 75.5 rushing yards.
I like that one. He's been really good this year. Let's go to the second game tomorrow, one that this audience will be watching closely, the Cowboys against the Las Vegas Raiders. It's a big number, Ariel, in this game. 7.5 for a Cowboys team that is pretty banged up, but obviously the Raiders have gone in the tank here as well. What's your thought on this game? Any plays, any props you like for the second game tomorrow?
I do like the prop for the Vegas Raiders wide receiver Bryan Edwards, over 18.5 yards for his longest reception. This is a player that has gone very under the radar. He actually has the second most 20-plus yard catches this year for the Raiders. The only other player that has more 20-plus yard catches than him is the tight end Darren Waller. Now, he had a quiet week last week with no receptions. Seems like a bounce-back spot. And the Cowboys have allowed for at least two receivers to have a catch of 20-plus yards in all the two games this season. It's too many points for me to lay with the Cowboys. And those weird trends about 7 or more points as a favorite, in addition to favorites cashing on Thanksgiving, but Dallas is 1-9 against the spread the last few years. It's just very scary for me to bet Dallas on Thanksgiving. I'd rather just bet props in this game with such a high total at 50.5.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a weird game. I think the under's the play there. Let's go to the night game tomorrow, Ariel. Buffalo at New Orleans. Suddenly a really big game. New Orleans is watching their playoff chances kind of slip here with their three losses in a row, including to the Eagles last week. And Buffalo, suddenly every win matters because the Patriots have overtaken them in the AFCs. I liked Buffalo to start the week. You know, if this number was around 4 or 4.5, it's up to 6 now. Buffalo's clearly the more talented team, especially a quarterback. But, you know, betting against the Saints, getting 6 at home, that feels like a lot. What's your read on this game and any props you like?
I agree with you that it's a lot of points. That's why I took the Saints at +5.5. Wish I got them at 6. I just didn't think this number was going to go further than even 5, 5.5. It's too many points. I know that New Orleans has a lot of different injuries right now, especially to the running back room with no Mark Ingram, no Alvin Kamara. However, or Mark Ingram's questionable. I just am a little too nervous about laying 6 points with a Buffalo team that's been struggling. They're on the road on a short week. The Saints are actually 3-0 on Thanksgiving under Sean Payton, their head coach. I'm going to take the points with the Saints. I also like for Josh Allen anytime touchdown at +185. The Saints have allowed the most rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks this year with 5. All 5 of those have accumulated in the last 3 weeks. They had Jalen Hurts run in 3 touchdowns last week. Ryan Tannehill ran one in the week before, and Matt Ryan ran one in the week before that. Josh Allen's a mobile quarterback. And with this team losing 2 out of their last 3 games, what more reliable way than to just keep the ball in one of your best players' hands? Your quarterback, Josh Allen, anytime touchdown, +185.
Yeah, keep it simple. Ariel Epstein is joining us here from Yahoo Sportsbook. Talk about week 12 in the NFL. We get 3 games tomorrow, and then we get a Sunday slate here. Ariel, you mentioned Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, which they've totally transformed their team, their offense, and really their season in the last month or so. They are 3.5-point road favorites against the New York Giants. Typically, Ariel, these kind of games, you know, a division game, 3.5 over a field goal. The Giants, obviously, you know, they're not the Lions. They're not the Texans. They're not good, but they're not that bad. Typically, I stay away from this kind of thing. But, boy, the Eagles look impressive right now, and the Giants look like a mess. What do you think of this game on Sunday with the Eagles and Giants?
Yeah, it is one of those situations where you say, ew, why on earth am I betting this game? It's just the line continues to move against the Giants, and it doesn't shock me that the world's going to overreact to this Giants game on Monday night. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady, who have a top 10 defense, the reigning Super Bowl champions at home in Tampa, off of a loss. And I know that everybody actually always talks about Tom Brady off a bye and how successful he is winning-wise. When you really look at Tom Brady's stats off a bye, like he was last week, Tom Brady has only gone over 300 passing yards once in the last 5 years, and that was in 2016. However, 2 weeks off of a bye, which is what that game was just with the Giants, Brady's actually gone for over 300 passing yards in 3 out of the last 5 years. Statistically, Brady does better the second week off the bye. The New York Giants ran into that, and I'm not going to overreact with seeing how the Giants played against the Bucs versus how they'll play against the Eagles. If I had to take a side early, I'm not going to overreact, and I would take the points with the home dogs, the New York Giants.
Ariel, speaking of overreaction, I feel like there's one happening with this Titans-Patriots game here. I like New England. I think this is for real, and I think they're going to end up in the playoffs with Mac Jones, their quarterback. But 6.5 points they're giving to Tennessee. Tennessee, you know, we know what happened last week. A bunch of turnovers. They lost at home to Houston. Feels like an overreaction here. What do you think of this line with the Titans getting 6.5 points against the Patriots on Sunday in Foxborough?
It does feel like an overreaction. However, I'm not jumping in front of this Bill Belichick-led train. This train has been, I mean, they are just so hot right now. I'm going with the under. That's the one reliable thing about the Patriots. Their defense has been so good. They're the best defense in football right now, allowing just over 17 points per game, which is the lowest in the league. I'm taking the under, 44.5, and it's already trended that way. I've seen it at 44, haven't really checked recently the last few hours. I've seen this number go down by the hook, though, and the Titans are without Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown this week, going into a tough place to play in Gillette Stadium, plus a tough defense. Give me the under.
Yeah, it's still a 44, so that's where the game is, and you like the under. Ariel, let's talk about the Buccaneers and the Colts. This is a big game, a fun game on Sunday. The Bucs, as you stated, coming off of their Monday night win over the Giants, and the Colts coming off their most impressive win of the season with the way they took apart the Bills, and boy, Jonathan Taylor with 5 touchdowns was impressive to watch. What do you make of this matchup? My thought on this is, I know the Colts are playing well, but this is not a great matchup for them. The Bucs stopped the run. I feel like Todd Bowles is going to make Carson Wentz beat them, not Jonathan Taylor. I would lean with the road team and the Bucs here. Do you agree, or do you think the Colts continue to surprise people?
I do agree with you. I agree for the same reasons you mentioned. The reason the Colts looked so good this past week was because Jonathan Taylor was up against a really bad run defense. Now you're going up against the best run defense across the last 2 years in football. The matchup just doesn't bode well for the Colts, who rely heavily on Jonathan Taylor to go off for 5 touchdown games. And the Colts have a decent defense, just not good enough to stop Tom Brady. And plus, with game management, Tom Brady is way better of a manager than you're going to see Carson Wentz be for the Colts. If I had to take a lean here, I would go with Tampa Bay and lay the points with them. But, guys, the thing is for me, I get very nervous about taking any kind of side that may have 80% of the action or higher. So if I do see Tampa Bay become this crazy favorite that everyone's betting on because it's such a short spread, and if this line some reason moves to 2.5, I'll deem it a fishy line and say, ooh, maybe it's a little sketchy, I'll stay away. Line movement's going to be really important.
Yeah, that is 2.5, or if it goes over the 3 the other way to 3.5. Yep. Ariel, how about the Rams and Packers? Really big game, could be a playoff preview, and this is a line that has moved. It's moved over the 0. So earlier this week, I saw the Rams were getting 1.5, getting a point, and now before you hopped on, I looked again, and they are now the favorites in this game, -1. Now, I understand that the Packers have injury issues. Bakhtiari's out. And Rodgers is dealing with some sort of toe thing that he's obviously upset about and he's making a big deal about. But the Rams off a bye. They weren't looking good before that. I feel like 2 weeks for McVay to figure out what to do here might be enough. What do you think? The Rams are now the favorites in Lambeau.
I would probably tease the Packers up in a two-team teaser with someone else you may like. At least you get Green Bay. If you're getting them at the +1 mark, you could get them in a 6-point teaser, get them to the key number of 7, get them at +7 as a home dog. That would probably be the way I'd feel safest about playing it. It's a toss-up. Also, Aaron Rodgers has been going around social media posting pictures of his feet showing his toe, and now that's taken up my entire Twitter feed all day. He changed his Twitter picture to a picture of his toe. Feels like he's just trolling the media and trying to make us think that his injury is worse. I'm sure it's painful. He says it's worse than turf, though. If it was so bad, he's really going to lead on the Rams with the best defensive player, Aaron Donald, on the other side, telling them that he's that injured and his toe is that bad. I'm not going to believe Aaron Rodgers trying to troll all of us. I would just tease this one to be safe.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. I'm kind of tired of the Aaron Rodgers drama every 5 minutes here. Ariel, let's end with this. We talked about the game itself, but big picture with the Eagles. Their schedule is the lightest in the NFL, easiest, whatever you want to say, moving forward the rest of the way. They don't get on a plane the rest of the way. It's pretty good travel. They found an offense here. You can find them +138 to make the playoffs. What do you think about the Eagles' big picture? Is this run going to continue?
Oof, I would not want to bet the Eagles to make the playoffs because they're just, even though they have an easy schedule, it's just not worth it to me because you're not going to be amongst the best if you don't win your division. It's kind of like looking at the National League East in baseball. Would you really be willing to go bet someone like the Phillies midway through the year to make the playoffs? Probably not, because you knew that there were other teams outside of the NL East that were going to get in. From a wild card standpoint, I just have no interest in relying on this Eagles team. I don't really have interest on relying on anyone in the NFC East in a futures bet. The Eagles are below 500. They're 5-6. Odds are they're not going to win out. They still have to face the teams that know them well. They have Washington again. There's going to be other teams that are better that can make the playoffs. The NFC West could have 3 teams make the playoffs. The NFC North has the Vikings. There's too many other teams in the NFC that I am not willing to rely on the Eagles because I'd probably hate myself if I did it and it lost.
Yeah, and they're probably being a tiebreaker. They could be a tiebreaker at the end. Ariel, that's great, and we appreciate you hopping on. The last thing I do need to ask you, that we've been debating tonight, if you had a #1 pick of any Thanksgiving food on the table, you got to have the first pick tomorrow. What are you taking? What's your #1 Thanksgiving food, Ariel?
The thing I have to do is I have to get to the turkey first because I love dark meat turkey. I do not like the white meat turkey, because it's too dry. And if you don't get to the turkey fast enough, then everyone else gets the dark meat and you're stuck with some meat that you have to put gravy on because it's too dry. I've got to make sure that I'm going to the dark meat turkey.
Yeah, the strategy is important tomorrow. Arrow, good luck getting to the dark meat turkey, and I appreciate you hopping on tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, you too. There you go. There she goes. Ariel Epstein of Yahoo Sportsbook. So she's ripping white meat turkey, too. It's dry.
She was ripping gravy, too. Like, imagine acting like putting gravy on meat is somehow a bad thing.
Well, I mean, I think her premise is correct. Like, why do we need gravy?
I mean, like, among liquids, I would say gravy is, like, a top three.
Liquid?
Yeah.
Like, with like water?
Yeah, I would put, like, water, gravy, milk. I would say are the top three liquids.
How about water, coffee, beer?
No.
Yeah, I mean, those would be my top three. I mean, I think actually those are the only three things I drink. I have wine sometimes. It's more rare I have wine. Water, coffee.
I can't imagine you drinking wine. That's a funny picture to me.
I love wine.
I think it would be hysterical to watch you drink a glass of wine.
Well, like, I'm not drinking it like you know, like some guy in a movie or a TV show. I'm just drinking a glass of wine. Why is that funny?
I don't know. I just think it's a funny thing to picture.
I don't come across a wine guy.
No, not really.
I like red wine. White wine is.
Do you like red wine at room temperature? Do you like it chilled?
Room temperature.
That's gross.
No, I think amateurs chill their red wine.
Yeah, I put an ice cube in mine.
Yeah, so you're an amateur. No, I know a decent amount.
There's nothing refreshing about room temperature red wine.
I don't think you're drinking wine for refreshment. Go grab a Gatorade.
Drink everything for refreshment.
No.
That's the idea.
No. I mean, like a cold beer in the summer, yes. But for the most part, I don't drink beer for refreshment. I drink it because I like beer. I don't drink coffee for refreshment. I'm doing it to survive. I don't sleep. I drink water for refreshment or hydration, I guess. You drink everything you drink is for... Wait, you just said a minute ago that one of your top three liquids is gravy.
Yeah, but I don't drink it.
I know, but you said everything is for refreshment.
I'm not drinking I like barbecue sauce. I'm not drinking it for refreshment.
Well, that's a good thing. Because that we'd have to... That'd be a problem.
I don't think that would work. There's probably too much sodium.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's also... It's just not... You just shouldn't do that. Anyway, I mean, this... Say it again, your top three liquids... What did you throw in there again? This is remarkable.
I think I said gravy.
Milk.
Milk. Well, you have to put water in there. Can we just, like, disqualify water?
All right, your top three non-water.
Like, because water's the universal liquid.
Well, we need to survive.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say gravy, water. I'll say gasoline. I'll throw gasoline in there because I got to get somewhere. I got places to be.
I mean, how often do you eat gravy?
Not enough.
I know, too. I know we're all in the Thanksgiving mood here and, like, we're thinking ahead to tomorrow. That's wonderful. I mean, it's great. But, I mean, I don't – maybe I'm just missing out. I mean, I don't have gravy very often.
I don't think I do either. I don't think I have it a lot.
I think you have it more than the average bear. So.
You know what gravy is really good on? A hot sandwich. Give me a hot sandwich with some gravy.
Yeah, I got some people over here mad that I dissed hot sandwiches, apparently.
A hot open-faced turkey sandwich with a lot of gravy on it? Sign me up.
Oh, boy. All right. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Informative. I mean, that we went from informative to nonsense there. Ariel's given us the best plays for the games this weekend. I mean, she was very honest with her assessment of the Eagles-Giants. She's taking the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, but that's why I invited her on, right, to give her thoughts on the games, not to play to the crowd.
No, but I also understand where she's coming
sure.
from, right? Because we talk a lot about overreacting, right, and getting teams kind of at their peak.
Yeah.
The Eagles and Giants are at the polar opposites of the spectrum in their value right now.
Yeah, I think the number, because you could find this, you know, your sports book of choice. I use FanDuel. You could go on ESPN's app. Doesn't matter. Like, you could find the look-ahead lines for next week right now. And you could, when you do that, you could kind of find where the overreaction is. That's why I brought up the Titans-Patriots. There's no way that was close to 6.5 last week. But then the Titans go out there and they lose to the Texans. The Patriots win in a standalone game, shut out the Falcons. It's like, whoa, Patriots are great again. Oh, the Titans aren't that good. And it becomes almost a touchdown game. I don't think so. Just for example, and we'll see what happens this week if the, let's say the Eagles win and let's say the Jets by the way, they're starting Zach Wilson only because everybody else has COVID. They don't really want to play.
Well, Joe Flacco doesn't. He was just a close contact.
But that means he's out.
Yeah, he can't play.
Because he's unvaccinated.
He has to sit at home.
Unvaccinated. He's going to watch the game from home like the rest of us. So right now, the Eagles are currently looked at as a 6.5-point favorite on FanDuel against the Jets. Tucker, if the Eagles beat the Giants on Sunday and the Jets lose to the Texans, what's this number next week? It's 6.5 right now. 8?
Probably goes down to 4. I don't think he gets under a field goal.
No, I mean if the Eagles win and Jets lose, I think it goes to 7 or 8.
Oh, the other way. Yeah,
it's
I would
six
say
and a half.
It doesn't get to 10, but it climbs.
8 maybe.
8, 8.5 maybe by the end of the week.
What is going on here? 4 weeks ago, we're firing Sirianni and Gannon. They're going to be 8-point favorites.
Well, I mean,
the game?
Do you remember that we talked about how the Eagles probably wouldn't be favored in most of their games?
And now I don't.
And now I think you could argue outside of the Cowboys game or one of the Washington games, they'll be favored in every game.
Yeah, and the Washington game will depend on how they keep playing, right? If they start winning some games, they could be favored at home. But if they don't, I don't think the Eagles are going to be underdogs until Dallas. And I don't even know about that one. Right, if Dallas,
yeah, I mean, if they're done, if they have the 3 seed locked up, it's Cooper Rush time.
So when's the next time the Eagles are an underdog? Wild card weekend? In
or
Arizona?
2022.
In Arizona against the Cardinals?
The Rod Lakin Bowl?
The number 7 seed Eagles, number 2 seed Cardinals. We get the playoff bus revved up. What'd you say earlier? You did the math 34 hours or
the
something?
The 34-hour drive. And we would go through a lot of huge cities, depending on how you feel about Albuquerque.
Well, that's not a huge city.
Well, I mean, that's kind of it. Like, when you get out west, like past the Mississippi River,
yeah,
there isn't much there.
Right. And what'd you think was there?
I mean, nothing,
it's
I guess.
Land.
I never thought about
it. It's land and mountains and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we've talked about the playoff bus. We've got it in the shop. It's getting tuned up and detailed for this trip. If we really did it, I wonder how many people would come with us on a road trip to Arizona. Like, I'm driving the bus.
If you're driving, not many.
Well, I could drive a bus.
Could you? I mean, you drive a minivan, I guess. That's close.
Listen, back in my day, before I started doing radio...
I know, you were a mailman for 6 weeks.
No, I wasn't a mailman. And that's no offense to mailmen or women or postal workers. They're essential. I worked for FedEx. I delivered... I had to drive one of those...
Did you look down on postal workers when working for FedEx? Like, did you think you were a step above?
I thought I worked harder. And that's not a step above, but just like it's like I had to carry packages. They're just carrying
not
mail.
Letters and postcards.
Right. And because, you know, for the most part, I feel like letter carriers just put it in the mailbox, right, and they keep driving. FedEx, you got to get out of the truck every single stop.
Yeah. I mean, you're logging a lot of steps.
Well, I did this during the seasonal thing, right? I did it during like the Christmas time, right, I guess around this time of the year I started. So it was cold. I respected those people so much more after that. I never warmed up. Like, it was freezing. It was like 20 degrees.
Well, don't you, like, not have a door? Right? You don't have a door on your truck.
No, there we had doors.
Oh, okay.
But, like, you keep getting in and out, in and out.
Did you leave the truck running so the heat was always on?
Of course. But, like, one of the days it was raining, so I was just wet the whole day.
That's gross.
It was.
I would have called out.
No, see, you can't do that. Like, that's not, I was a foxhole guy for FedEx. That's the difference between us. 215-592-9494. All right, NFL picks. Guess the takes for week number 12 coming up. I'll give my picks. We'll see if they're the same or different than our last guest. We'll guess the takes. What is everyone going to be saying when we get back from the holiday weekend? And we'll chat with our guy Sixers Adam for a little Trust the Pregame show, getting you ready for the Sixers and the Warriors tonight out west. And maybe we'll get Sixers Adam's thoughts on the latest report on Ben Simmons from Howard Eskin that he might be tapped out of cash. All that coming up and more on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Sixers Adam joins us for a Trust the Pregame Sixers and the Warriors tonight out in Golden State. And I'll do some NFL picks, guess it takes, in just a couple minutes here. But we got to grab our buddy Dan in Northeast Philadelphia. He's up on WIP.
Up,
hey, Dan. Hey, how you doing tonight?
Happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody else down there.
Oh, you too, Dan. We appreciate it. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, Sirianni, early in the year, he was doing bad. But, you know, they got a big back like we needed. But now he has to learn to use the guys he's got right. You know, when he's giving the ball to Sanders coming out of, you know, from your own 4-yard line, you got to have the fullback in there, the guy that don't fumble. And then he did it a second time. He's got to – you want to use the big guy early in the game, beat him up some, then you put the fast guy in and he can go yard. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm sure you're excited. We're seeing Jordan Howard. Unfortunately, he's hurt right now, but Jordan Howard's come back and carved out a role here.
Yeah, is he going to be back this week?
Not this week. He's going to be out this game. But they didn't rule him out for next week, so I don't think it's too serious yet.
What did he get, a sprained neck or something?
A sprained knee, I think. It's his knee.
Oh, the knee. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He also got flipped over on his neck, but I guess that wasn't too big of a deal.
I think he got like a cross body block. Yeah. He got hit like on the side of the knee a little, yeah.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, my favorite part of the turkey, I like the beginning and the end, the neck and the last part to go over the fence.
The whole thing. Dan, how about dessert? What do? You like pie, Dan?
Oh, yeah. I got a Dutch apple, you know, with the crumb on top,
and you put a
scoop of Breyers vanilla on top.
Now we're talking, Dan. Now we're talking.
Mode.
Yes. Dan,
all right, have a nice Thanksgiving. Take it easy, guys. Thank you.
You too, Dan. We appreciate it. I mean, Dan knows what he's doing. A little ice cream on top of the apple pie. Now we're cooking with gas.
I could go for some ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, at what point do you ever feel like I couldn't go for some ice cream? It's ice cream.
Can you eat ice cream in the winter? Some people think it's only a summer treat. It's not.
Yes, I could eat ice cream in the winter. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I might get ice cream this weekend, I've decided.
You know what? Go for it. Treat yourself. Tucker's getting some ice cream this weekend, everybody. All right. You know what? Here's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to win people some ice cream. Maybe some ice cream money in your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Let's get to some NFL picks. Guess the takes here coming up for week number 12 in the NFL. We'll start with the picks. We'll get to the takes here. Pick number one, and this line moved. We discussed this with Ariel Epstein of Yahoo Sportsbook a little while ago. The line moved, and... You know, I think when it moves around the zero, it's not that big of a deal. You're basically just picking the winner anyway. But earlier in the week, it was the Packers favored by a point and a half over the Los Angeles Rams. This line has now moved to the Rams minus one. I would take the Rams minus one because I believe the Rams are going to go win this game outright. This is a perfect storm here for what maybe was a small upset, now is a small favorite. Look, the Rams are coming off a bye. Sean McVay has 2 full weeks to figure out what the heck happened to his team, what the heck happened to Matthew Stafford. And to assimilate Odell Beckham Jr. into the offense. They lost Robert Woods right before their last game. They kind of force-fed, you know, Odell in there. The whole thing was disjointed. I think the Rams look much, much more buttoned up in this game than they did against San Francisco and Tennessee. I like the Rams in a bounce back. And the Packers have some issues right now. David Bakhtiari just had knee surgery. He's going to be out a couple weeks. Aaron Rodgers dealing with something. Not COVID toe, according to Aaron, even though he joked that it was COVID toe. I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm tired of the Aaron Rodgers drama. Like, dude, just go play. I mean, stop complaining about everything. He's a great quarterback, not having a particularly great year. And I think the Rams are just a better team. And I'm going to take the Rams outright in Lambeau Field to win the game. Rams minus the one over the Green Bay Packers. Game number two I like on Sunday. And I agree with our last guest. That you got to watch where the line is. I'm going to take it right now so I don't miss it. Bucks minus three over the Colts. I'm impressed with the Colts. Jonathan Taylor is running his way into the MVP race. And their defense is making plays. Their offensive line is healthier and playing well. And they just won a game where they were clearly the tougher team on Sunday than Buffalo. But that was a good matchup for them. Tampa Bay is not a good matchup for the Colts. Tampa Bay is dominant against the run. The Colts offense, look... Carson Wentz, they're using him the way I always said here was the best way to use him. He's a game manager. Carson Wentz is a big name, big money game manager. Use him that way, you can win football games. They're doing it in Indianapolis. But I think on Sunday, the Bucs aren't going to allow that to happen. Todd Bowles is going to take away the run. They're going to stack the box against Jonathan Taylor, and they're going to say, you beat us, Carson Wentz. And I don't think he can without making a mistake against a seasoned Bucs defense. Tom Brady or Carson Wentz in a small... spread, short, you know, close game. I'll take Tom Brady minus the three over Wentz. Bucks minus three, my second play. And my third one, I just can't believe how big this number has gotten. I'm going to go with the Titans. I like this Patriots team, but I'm going to go with the Titans here to cover the number. It is plus 6.5. It's an overreaction to what happened last week. I don't think the Titans are a touchdown worse than the Patriots. I like Tennessee plus 6.5 in probably what is a lower scoring game. And one play for tomorrow, The Lions are going to get their first win. Jared Goff is slated to start. This is a Lions win. The Bears are a dead team walking. They're trying to fire the coach, and now they don't want to fire the coach. Did you see that Nat Nagy tried to go to his son's high school game, and the crowd was chanting, "Fire Nagy"?
Yeah, that's not great.
That's a lot. I mean, I know he's probably a high school kid, so
maybe a little much.
Yeah, and I, you know, 14 to 18-year-olds tend to be dumb, so I'm not going to get all over them. But that's just...
Have you ever been heckled in real life?
Like by a crowd?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Have you?
Me neither. Doesn't sound fun.
No, I mean, you can kind of play it off as like, oh, yeah, it's this funny guy's over here, but...
You can pretend you're in on it, but deep down, you know, you're not.
Yeah, you're not. They want you out of it. That's why they're chanting "Fire Nagy." I think the Bears are in trouble. They're without defensive starters. Their defense isn't that good anyway. And they don't have Allen Robinson tomorrow. I mean, how are they moving the football? I know the Lions are bad, but like we're talking about Andy Dalton and a bunch of backups. That's a recipe for disaster. The Lions, money line tomorrow. To beat the Bears on Thanksgiving. All right, let's guess the takes here for week number 12. Number one, I didn't take this game, but I certainly could see it going this way. I think we get the take next week that it's officially dead in Seattle. Like, it's over. The run is over. Pete's going to leave. Wilson's going to get traded. It's over. They all hate each other. I mean, the Seahawks have been the most disappointing team in the last 2 weeks. Russell Wilson comes back from... the IR with the finger injury. It's like, oh, they could beat the Packers in Lambeau. No, they didn't score a point. And last week, did anyone check out the box score of the game that they played against the Cardinals? Colt McCoy went 32 of 38. You want to know the moment that Pete Carroll's run as a big-time head coach on the defensive side of the ball ended? Colt McCoy in Seattle went 32 of 38. It's over. I'm not going to be surprised if they lose to the Washington football team on Monday night. I like Washington and Heineke this week, and I think it's officially over in Seattle. The other take you're going to hear coming up next week when the Patriots win a close game over the Titans, the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. They just keep rolling, get out of the way. Mac Jones, the new Tom Brady. It's all going to be out there. Patriots Super Bowl buzz starts in a major, major way. And the third take you're going to hear, and this will kind of be the backdrop of the Eagles game against the Jets next week, when Zach Wilson loses to the Texans on Sunday, that officially they're going to start declaring Zach Wilson a bust. After like 8 or 9 starts, he's been the worst rookie quarterback so far. I think he's going to lose to the Texans on Sunday. I don't think he's going to beat the Eagles the week after that. Zach Wilson just might stink, and that's going to be the take you're going to hear coming up next week. So Zach Wilson stinks. Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll are going to break that whole thing in Seattle up. And the Patriots Super Bowl train is going to start becoming a runaway train on Monday when the takes start flying in. Those are NFL picks. Guess the takes for week number 12. We're going to talk to Sixers Adam here in a couple minutes. But this Zach Wilson thing, I don't think he's any good. I've been totally unimpressed. He's hurt. He's not been the same. You know, he's not been the player they drafted there. So we shall see. Zach Wilson likely to start against the Jets, against the Eagles, excuse me, next week. Zach Wilson against the Eagles next week? It's Jalen Hurts? That's an interesting game.
Sure it is.
Well, I mean, it's a guy. Remember there was the rumor before the draft last year, the Eagles inquired about moving up for Zach Wilson with the
Jets?
We're
getting a lot of those stories, aren't we? Like, that's going to be a major theme heading into that game.
Yeah, a crisis averted, right? Like, or mistake avoided, right? Like the best moves.
Or what could have been.
Right, like and let's imagine Zach Wilson doesn't play well this Sunday, so he's generally had a miserable rookie season. I could see a story coming out like maybe the best move the Eagles never made was not surrendering an extra first-round pick to go get Zach Wilson because the quarterback they had here anyway is leading them to wins now, something like that.
Yeah, we'll that sounds that. About right.
Yeah, we'll hear that. I mean, I've been thoroughly unimpressed with Zach Wilson. I'm assuming he's going to be the quarterback next week for the Jets. We shall see, but... Yeah, I don't think much of him, even though he's got a nice arm. He throws the ball to the other team very, very often. And we're gonna talk to Sixers Adam coming up here in a few minutes. Let's transition here to the Trust the Pregame delivered to you by PGW. PGW delivering safe, reliable energy to Philadelphia for more than 180 years. PGW energy for all of us. Visit pgworks.com for details. All right, we have the Sixers and the Warriors tonight. Before we talk to our guy Sixers Adam, I'm going to jump into some of the props over at FanDuel, see what they have for us here tonight, because the FanDuel props. We did it for one of our Sixers game recently, and no Tobias tonight, we found out. So this is going to be interesting to see where the points are projected to come from, where we could land here. So it's a 10-point spread on the game via FanDuel Sportsbook. The total on the game's 216 tonight. Kind of a lower total considering the Warriors are an outstanding offense and they are a great defensive team as well. Draymond Green is going to give the Sixers a lot of trouble tonight. He's going to give them a lot of trouble tonight. So here are your player point props tonight. Let's see what they're projecting. Curry, 28.5. Wiggins, 18.5. Jordan Poole, 17.5. Jordan Poole's a nice player. Draymond, 7.5 for the Sixers, 16.5 for Curry. Would you take the over for Tyrese Maxey, 21.5? I kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, no one else is going to be handling the ball on offense.
Right. I mean, the Sixers' top guys are him and Curry at 21.5 and 16.5. Andre Drummond's total is 11.5.
What kind of odds can you get on him to get 20 rebounds? That's my new thing. I'm going to start betting Andre Drummond to get 20 rebounds every game.
Okay, you know what? Let's make this a running bit, see how long it takes you to hit this year. So they don't have that specific prop. You can do 16-plus rebounds.
That's not enough.
It's only plus 150.
I'm out.
You got to be able to name your prop. That's actually remarkable that they don't let you do that. Because in the NFL market, you could do the alternate total.
Right.
You could like move the total wherever you want, and they give you specific odds for it. That's disappointing. I wanted to see you hit that one. You know, it's only plus 150 on that total. That's how crazy of a rebounder he is.
Like, and once again, they don't have anybody else. Like he is the only center on that team, depending on how you feel about Paul Reed or Charles Bassey.
Here's a crazy number and just shows you how great Steph Curry is and how what kind of a shooter we're talking about. To make 5 plus threes, it's minus 260.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
what kind of odds can you get on him to make under 5 threes? Feels like that'd be a good bet.
Well, his total for the game is 5.5. Okay, minus 113 on under 5.5. So there you go, minus 113.
I like that.
You're betting against Steph Curry at the
shooting? I mean, 5.5 threes, that's a lot. In a game where they should win in a blowout?
What's he averaging this year, about 5.5 threes a game? A dummy didn't set the line. Like, he's probably averaging 5.5 threes a game. He's the MVP of the league. He could drop 50 tonight if he wants. He's the best shooter. I mean, you got to be really brazen.
He's averaging 5.4. So on any given night, he doesn't even get to 5.5.
Well, you're right about that. But on any given night, he could hit eight or nine, right? It's Steph Curry. Here's the part about taking that. And
he only hit one in their last game.
Uh-oh. You know what that means.
He hit nine in the two previous.
The worst part about betting something like that, like taking the under on a Steph Curry odds or, you know, shooting or whatever, he could do it in the first quarter. Like, he could hit his first four threes, and you're sitting there like, I screwed this one up. Oops. That is the prop. We're going to talk to Sixers Adam here in a second on all things Sixers, this road trip, the impending return of Joel Embiid, and really what Sixers Adam thinks of Tyrese Maxey, because that's become the story now for the Sixers over the past, you know, few weeks. It's Tyrese Maxey's emergence. How much of this is simply because he's the only guy on the court? How much of this is real? And really, does it affect, and should it affect, in a significant way, how Daryl Morey and the Sixers approach the Ben Simmons situation, what they could get, who they target, the 30-player list from last week, Jeremy Grant, all that kind of stuff. Like, if Maxey is this guy, it has to factor in a different way over what they could get in a potential deal for Ben Simmons. So we'll talk to Sixers Adam about that, and then this game tonight, which just feels like a major, major chore for the Sixers. With a very shorthanded group. Let's go to Sixers Adam from Wrights to Ricky Sanchez with us here on the Trust the Pregame Show. Sixers Adam, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well and excited to watch a basketball game tonight. And the Sixers happen to go up against the best team in the NBA right now. Before we dive into the Sixers and all the angles here, are you surprised at how good the Warriors are again?
Honestly, I'm not. I certainly didn't expect them to be this good. But as someone who has always, you know, just admired the value that Steph Curry brings to a team, I think, you know, the years that Kevin Durant was there and Durant kind of overshadowing him to some extent, I think it made people forget just how deadly Steph is. So I'm not surprised to see that he's leading a team that right now is playing better than anyone else.
I'm interested to see if you agree with my take that I've had for a while now, but I think, you know, it kind of fell off in my mind, and now I feel like it's resurgent again. I believe when his career is over, Steph Curry will be looked at as the greatest point guard of all time, surpassing Magic Johnson. What do you think of that?
I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree. I think when Steph retires, people will look back and realize that he completely changed the way basketball was played for a whole generation of young talent. I totally am with you. And I think, you know, if you want to talk about most influential, I think he'd be the most influential point guard of all time as well.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's changed basketball. Sixers, Adam, tonight the Sixers are going up against a big opponent. And if they're going to score enough, they're going to need Tyrese Maxey to help them score. Where are you on Tyrese and his development? I mean, this has been the pleasant surprise of the season, that this kid has taken this leap. I guess we'll start with this. How much of this is real and how much of this is opportunity, right? Young players get opportunities, more minutes, more touches, more usage. They put up points, they put up numbers, but then you put them back in kind of a normal setting and they kind of go back to what you thought they'd be. How do you parse that as we watch them with a depleted team?
I think this is entirely legitimate. I've always had high expectations for Maxey. He's a young player who I've always been pretty fond of. But even for me, it's almost stunning how good he's been. Something that I think doesn't get talked about enough that should be remembered more is that Maxey was never a full-time point guard before he got to the Sixers. And yet, in pretty much every way, he plays like a veteran. He takes great care of the ball, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He finds ways to impact the game outside of scoring. So, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 21 years old in his sophomore season and learning a new position on the fly. And he's become one of the better scorers in the NBA. He's certainly not elite yet, but he's become very, very good and has probably been the best player on the team for the last 3 weeks since Embiid went out.
So as we move forward with Tyrese and obviously emerging here as an important piece, how much of what he's doing do you think can and should impact how Daryl Morey goes about the Ben Simmons trade discussions? Because it always, you know, the idea was like they need a lead guard here. They need a star player here. Do you think Tyrese's emergence changes what they might look for in a return for Ben Simmons?
I do. I think this kind of changes the whole way that, you know, Daryl and the front office are going to have to look at this. You know, Maxey clearly has the potential to be that kind of lead guard that they're seeking, where maybe if, you know, your best offer in terms of value gives you, you know, let's say a backup big man and some help on the wing and draft picks or something, you may not necessarily need to get a lead guard because, I mean, right now Maxey looks like he's easily a starting caliber point guard.
Yeah, he's been that. Sixers Adam is joining us here from Rice to Ricky Sanchez, getting set for the game tonight on Trust the Pregame. Sixers 10-point underdogs against the Warriors. Sixers Adam, reports came out last week with Ben Simmons with the idea of maybe a 30-player list or something to that accord. Then we got some names, another report from the Inquirer with Keith Pompey, including Jeremy Grant's name was in there. That's kind of been debunked a little bit since, but when you think about where the Sixers are at with Ben, do you get a sense now that maybe that there's going to eventually be a realization they're not going to get the superstar player, and that's why names like Jeremy Grant might start to emerge more?
Yeah. I mean, frankly, I just look at, you know, this team that when Embiid was healthy, they showed that even without Simmons, it's a very good team. And I just can't imagine them wasting an entire year of Embiid's prime, you know, his age 27 to 28 season, with a $30 million player not playing. At some point, I think the Sixers are just going to have to accept that they may not be able to get, you know, that kind of all-star caliber player and settle for, you know, whether it's complimentary pieces or draft picks or both, which, you know, likely would be a little bit of both. Given Embiid's health situation, just generally speaking, I'm just not sure you can afford to take a step back the way that they probably will in the end if they can't deal Simmons or get him back on the team.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because the idea of wasting a year, because that I've said that for months now, that like I understand it, to an extent, stubbornness. Even when you're an executive, you got to wait, you got to get value, but time is also valuable too. You know, a year of Joel Embiid's prime is almost as valuable as, you know, net value on a player. Like, you can't waste a year. So one of the reports last week, I think it was part of the Keith Pompey report, Sixers Adam, had the idea that maybe, you know, they could just wait till the summer and maybe James Harden doesn't want to be in Brooklyn and assign and trade. Like, that feels very risky to wait a whole year and then to assume that Harden's going to want to come here, and then also say the Nets will take the sign and trade with Ben, that just seems like a lot of craziness to me.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I think that kind of risk is pretty reckless, frankly. You know, and of course I can go back to, you know, last year and say, well, where they really messed up was not trading Simmons for Harden when they had the chance. And clearly they tried to, but, you know, who knows how those negotiations went. Some people think that the Rockets didn't want to trade with Morey. But it's a really interesting spot that they're in at this point. But I just think it's a little reckless to assume, especially someone like Harden, who has given quotes about being happy in Brooklyn. I think it would be way too risky to hope that, like you said, so many pieces have to fall into place for that to work.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It really is. Sixers, Adam, on the Eastern Conference, the Sixers right now, we know they've had a lot of issues with Joel, with Ben hasn't played, the COVID issues throughout the roster. So I'm not surprised they're not, you know, rolling. They're 10-8, two games over 500. They're in the ninth seed right now. The whole playoff picture separated by about four games. But there are some surprises in the Eastern Conference. I'm curious if you think some of these teams are legit, if this is kind of early season noise. Brooklyn and Miami near the top, that's not surprising. Chicago has had a really nice start to season, 12-6. And then teams like the Wizards and the Hornets are above teams like the Celtics and the Bucks and the Sixers and the Hawks. What do you make of those teams? Chicago, Washington, Charlotte, who's the most for real? Who's the least for real?
I think I would say Chicago is the most for real here. Charlotte probably in the middle, and then the Wizards. The Bulls, I think, are totally legit. I think they're a real contender to be one of the top seeds in the conference. That front office has just done such a good job of putting a group of players together who all complement each other very well. And the reason I would lean towards Charlotte before the Wizards is there's just so much young talent in Charlotte right now. Between, obviously, LaMelo Ball is the lead guy there, but they have other young pieces as well, where they're in a spot where, you know, they could easily make rapid improvements throughout the season. Not that the Wizards can't, but I just think there's probably more room for improvement for Charlotte than there is for Washington.
Well, and with this, Sixers, Adam, we appreciate you giving us some time here on this Thanksgiving Eve. You know, your basketball writing is excellent. I always enjoy reading it, but maybe your food writing is even better. I've always enjoyed your takes on food. I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on the Thanksgiving spread, you know, traditional Thanksgiving dishes and meals that will be served to a lot of our audience tomorrow. Do you have any thoughts on any of the Thanksgiving dishes that will be put out tomorrow?
This may shock you, Joe, but I don't think I have a favorite Thanksgiving food. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the holiday. I enjoy being with my family and watching football. But as far as food goes, I'm not sure I have any takes for you tonight.
So that means you like it all and you don't dislike it, or you don't really like any of this stuff that we're going to eat tomorrow?
I would consider myself neutral in just about every regard.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, enjoy neutrality tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Joe.
There we go. Sixers Adam joining us here for a Trust the Pregame, which, of course, is delivered to you by PGW. PGW delivering safe, reliable energy to Philadelphia for more than 180 years. PGW, energy for all of us. Visit pgworks.com for details. Sixers and the Warriors tonight. Also tonight at 10 o'clock, Rob Cherry on WIP. Rob, happy almost Thanksgiving.
Yeah, can't wait.
You pumped?
No.
Okay. Look at the Lions and Bears.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I'll be doing my cooking during the Lions and Bears.
Cowboys and the Raiders?
That I'll be watching.
It's a good game.
Yeah, we're going to eat and watch that.
Root for the Raiders?
Absolutely.
Listen, Raiders win, Eagles win on Sunday. We got a race in this division.
There is a way they can win the NFC East if things fall well. If they win out and say the Cowboys lose to the Washington.
Yeah, they would need to get this to within one game before the last game of the season.
Yeah, but also there's most of the tiebreakers they don't win.
Right.
One of them they actually go to the strength of victory.
Ooh. Well, the Eagles have had some blowouts. But so have the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the strength of victory might be a problem because the Cowboys have lost to who? They've lost to Denver.
They lost to Denver.
They
yes.
lost to the Chiefs.
So the strength of victory mean how much you win in your games you win?
I think it's the percentage of the – it's and I wrote it down somewhere.
Okay.
It's percentage of something or other.
Opponent winning percentage, Tucker said.
Yeah, something like that. And the other one is strength of schedule, after strength of victory.
Yeah, opponent winning percentage is going to be a problem because they played the Chiefs. Well, so did the Eagles. I'm trying to think. Who are the...
Well, the Jets and Patriots are the two ones that are different.
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
Patriots are going to win 10 or 11. Yeah. Jets will win 1 or 2 or 3.
Exactly. So that might be an issue.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's just win the division outright then.
Well, they have to have the Cowboys lose 7 games.
7 total games.
Yeah, and they've lost 3 already. So if they lose tomorrow, that's 4. So they meet then 2 more after the Eagles.
Before they come here for the last game.
Yeah, and you figure the Saints, Cardinals, and the two Washingtons.
They could lose some of these games.
Yeah, they could lose 3 of those games.
And the Eagles are going to be favored in every game the rest of the way until we get to that last game.
Well, they should be, yeah.
You thinking NFC East?
I'm thinking there's a chance. If they win tomorrow, Sunday, if the Cowboys lose tomorrow, yes. If they win tomorrow, it's over.
Rob, how fun is it watching this run game right now? They're just gashing teams.
I can't believe what they're doing. They're like averaging 2 runs to a pass. When has that ever happened?
They've become,
in the modern era.
I mean, Rob, this has become the ultimate WIP team. They blitz and they run the football.
Yeah.
But people, well,
we've asked about for years.
They're listening.
Yeah. Well, no, they're not listening. It's by necessity.
It
actually worked. If it hadn't worked in the Lions game, they would have abandoned it right away.
They might have.
Yeah. The last 4 games, it's amazing how much they've run.
And Jalen Hurts' legs. I mean, those defensive ends, they don't know what to do. He's holding it, and they go after him, and he just hands it off.
That fake he made was tremendous.
Oh, it was great.
The run for the touchdown.
That was probably the signature play of his career so far.
Everybody bit on it, too.
And that defensive end, he's not going to want to watch that highlight ever again.
No, I don't think so. He looked pretty foolish.
He did. All right, Rob, you have a great show coming up. And happy Thanksgiving. Rob Cherry is coming up next. You guys have a great night. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. We will talk. I'll be back on Sunday for the pregame show with Glenn and Ross Tucker. Happy Thanksgiving. Rob Cherry up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.